This is the Midday 180, queued up by Angeli's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Final hour is here, Midday 180, queued up by Angeli's Barbecue. You heard Reed there mention the NFL rules and what has passed and what hasn't. They voted down the 4th and 15 option. We'll discuss that with John McClain coming up in 15 minutes, as well as all of the NFL headlines. You'll be able to join John and discuss your favorite team, the division, Titans player, different headlines throughout the league. That's all coming up with John McClain at 1:15. It's been a fun week, and we're not leaving. We're ready for another big hour here and plenty to discuss.
We're not leaving physically. We're not leaving emotionally. We're not leaving mentally. None of those things. Spiritually, we are staying. We are here to stay. We are not going anywhere. Spirit will remain strong, and we are ready to go to close out this week the right way in this last hour.
Paul's on a call with Kenny Vaccaro, so we'll check back in with him momentarily. The call yesterday with Taylor Lewan, of course, we're on the air, so I'm not listening to it live. I go back and find it last night and listen to a little bit of it, but also read the transcript, and so I know how to jump around and hear certain things. I loved Lewan's answers with the media in regards to being a leader. Now, I know saying it's one thing and doing it's the other, and Taylor would say the same thing, but whenever he was asked about, the rumor was he wanted to take on a bigger leadership role. He said, yeah. He's like, whoever told you that is apparently too close to me because I don't like you knowing that inside scoop. But yeah, he's like, I do want to be more of a leader. And a follow-up question to that was if he thinks it's fair to ask someone who plays his position to be a leader on a team, meaning O-lineman as a captain. And his answer was perfect. He said, I think if I was the coaches right now, I'd be pretty pissed off that I haven't taken on a leadership role yet. That answer is self-awareness, you know, to the nth degree. I loved it. And that's what we want to hear from Taylor. He also said, hey, we'll get off to a better start if I'm not suspended this season, which is a good line. I like his attitude and his approach this offseason.
I thought it was terrific. The four-game suspension, and we spent a lot of time talking about this. However you want to slice it, he let down his teammates big time by not being there and getting himself suspended and testing positive for performance enhancers. No doubt about it. But he has owned that. You know, initially he was obviously fighting the suspension and explaining everything and this and that. And I thought the Titans, you know, maybe could have taken a different stance, you know, instead of really sitting there with him and behind him and being a little bit more outwardly disappointed and everything and talking about that and being honest about it. But from Taylor Lewan's perspective and the way he's handled it and how forthright he's been and how honest he was on that call yesterday, I applaud the guy. I mean, he's not ducking it. He's saying we're better if I'm out there and we're off to a better start. And yeah, I'd be angry if I'm the coaches because I've not been a better leader and not been a bigger leader on this team. I think it was terrific.
He went on to say,
it's exactly what every Titans fan would want to hear, right? At least I would hope so.
Well, the way he answered the question, you can tell he's thought about this. The first time he thought about it wasn't when he was asked the question yesterday, based on the depth of the answer. Now, let me give an example. He went on to say, look, the coaches should be upset by now that I haven't been a leader. I think it's clear on the exit interviews or whatever it was. They want him to step up. That's how I read into the answer. But just reading directly from him, he said, I think I've done a poor job of stepping up as a leader, and that's been by choice and a little more by fear than anything else because of how I've been bit in the past trying to think, I don't want to be something I'm not. Just like I said before, realizing who I am and realizing what I can bring to the table is really important. I owe it to this team to be a better leader. That's the accountability you want from a guy you made at the time the highest paid offensive lineman in the league.
I hear from guys like Taylor Lewan on offense and Kevin Byard on defense. And we can nitpick with Lewan, and I don't think it's nitpicking to bring up the four-game suspension, which he brought up there. That's a big strike against him and him as a teammate, him as a leader and all of that. But when you hear those guys speak and how they carry themselves from an honest, competitive perspective, you'd be wise to model your entire team off of those two guys. with what you get and what you hear from Kevin Byard and what you get and what you hear from Taylor Lewan. Again, we can nitpick the podcast and extracurriculars and all that, whatever. I don't care. But when I hear from Taylor Lewan in that setting and the way he can honestly assess his own shortcomings and what he needs to do to be better, that's what I want to hear. And I think Kevin Byard has a lot of the same qualities, and that's the type of guy you want leading your team for both of them on offense and defense. And I think the Titans, if they continue to build around guys like that and add players that think that way, that quite frankly think a lot like Mike Vrabel thinks and John Robinson thinks from a competitive standpoint and an honest perspective, I think they're going to continue to be very competitive in the AFC.
And, you know, Wisenhunt put the captain C on his uniform, made him a captain. And when he wasn't ready, you know, Malarkey removed it. And whenever he became the full-time head coach after the interim. And in thinking about it, Chad, I mean, consider, like, if you're self-aware enough to know you shouldn't be the captain, but the head coach early in your career named you a captain, it's hard to turn that down, right? Like, you're brought in, the team is not that good, and you're brought in to be one of the staple points of the O-line. You're improving the offensive line, and you are the captain of this group and of the offense. And it was a downward spiral from there. Because although he's saying, like, at the time, I knew I was being someone I wasn't, you also have the head coach reaching out to you saying, I need you to lead. Take this on.
Well, what player that's a rookie in any sport, in their right mind, if the head coach came to them and said, hey, we really value you. We want you to be a captain.
Or year two.
Would say no, even early on. But anyone would say no to that opportunity, right? Because then you'd be, in your own mind, you're thinking, well, now I'm admitting that I'm not really serious about this and I'm not a leader on this team and I'm not going to be a great teammate if I say no to a captaincy. So I don't blame Taylor Lewan for doing that. I do, however, blame Ken Wisenhunt for offering that to him and thinking that Taylor Lewan was ready from a maturity standpoint to be a captain of the Titans. It shows a lot about Ken Wisenhunt's regime as Titans head coach that he would think that he's ready to be a captain at that point. But I hear those things from Lewan, and I believe that he is leading right now, and he's prepared and ready to lead because he's given that honest assessment of himself and what happened a year ago. I loved hearing it.
What are you binging this weekend, Chad?
So, finished Dead to Me. Finished Homecoming, which I really like. I'm interested in this show, White Lines. V-Love gave it a strong endorsement on Netflix. It's one season. It dropped recently. I don't know of anything dropping this weekend that I'm aware of that I'm ready to start watching. And I'm going to keep watching The Wire. I think I've got three or four episodes left in season four of The Wire. I know you're behind. I am going to stop after season four and let you catch up, Hutton. I'm not going to sprint to the end like Paul, who's almost done with the entire series. By the way, quick preview of The Wire podcast, which we hope you download. If you watch the show in the past, you'll enjoy it. We hope some people pick it up and start watching with us season by season, and you can listen to the podcast. But PK, this is just a quick snippet from the podcast. PK, who criticized me for watching ahead, and the reason he did, because he said I wasn't mentally capable of keeping in the right season when we talked about it.
He lit you
right
up for it.
Lit me up and said, there's no way you're going to be able to not talk about something from a future season. And I said, Paul, this is my choice. I'm going to be able to stick to the season that's in front of me when we're talking about it on the podcast. Paul, in the first 45 seconds of the podcast yesterday, mentioned something about season four during our season three podcast. The very thing that he accused me of not being able to do, he was unable to do. Paul, the Ivy League educated Paul Kuharsky could not keep it with one season the entire time. He even said something about season five that not you or I haven't even gotten into yet, Hutton. It was amazing to witness. But definitely check out the Wire podcast if you get a chance. But I actually need some recommendations on what I'm going to binge next. I'm thinking about White Lines, but there's nothing else really jumping out to me at this point. I think that we have a free trial to Apple TV. So at some point, I want to watch Morning Show and Defending Jacob. Those are two I've heard that are worth watching on Apple TV. I don't know of much else on that service, but why I have the free three months trial, I want to watch those series also. So I may get on that.
Tonight, 7:30, Facebook Live, Catfish for a Cure, Catfish Jake, and Chad is hosting live in person. I think I'm joining as one of the final guests. possibly in this Facebook Live broadcast for the fundraiser for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. If you're on Facebook later and you see the live stream, click on that and just hang out with us tonight. It's for a great cause.
Hutton, in front of me, I have the rundown for tonight. And it looks like you are going to be interviewed by me and Jake sometime in the last third of the program tonight. I don't know how long the program is.
Wow.
I'm kind of flying blind with it, but I do have some notes here. And you will be one of our special guests when we preview it. Wonderful. And then you will happen. I think your interview is going to take place towards the end of the program. And I've been looking forward to it. Mill Creek Brewery, I've never been. Hear good things about it down in Nolensville. It's open to the public. We will stay safe and socially distanced, if you like. It's a big space. We're going to be there, but you can watch all of it on Facebook Live. We tweeted out a link to where you can donate to Catfish Jake's campaign for LLS Man of the Year. You can see that on Midday 180. We'll tweet it out again as well.
Before we get to John McClain, shout out to JT and David Reed for making the shows happen this week with Schaefer on furlough. It's not easy. Switching from an afternoon producing role to mornings where you're waking up at, I don't know when JT's waking up, 4 a.m., a little earlier than that maybe. He's still at the building right now. What are you doing there?
You know what I did this morning that was great, guys? You'll appreciate this. I know we got to go to break. I hit and then barely missed a possum. I hit one and almost hit another one right before I was hopping on 840 on Broad Street this morning within like a half a mile. Just smashed one and then almost hit another one.
What I'm hearing is JT's the John Wayne Gacy of possums, that he's basically a serial killer of possums all over the street.
I almost made it 2 for 2 this morning.
Are you liking the early morning? Are you an early riser?
I don't hate getting up. The biggest issue for me is making myself try to go to sleep at 8:45 or 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Because if you don't, and I don't stay up till midnight, but if you don't go to bed and don't lay down and don't try to shut your brain off, it's miserable at 4 o'clock.
We wouldn't be able to function like that with the events that we do and the sports we watch. I mean, I don't know how Mark does it. Ingram, I think, has a great like rhythm when he's waking up and how he naps. Mark, with the way he preps, I don't know how he goes about staying up all night and then doing the show at 6.
I just typically start to drink it around 2 or 3 in the afternoon instead of
7. There you go.
So it's a lot easier.
Yeah, Blaine's probably used to it with the early mornings he would have in the pros for certain meetings and practices. Fisher always liked to practice early. I take that back. He would practice in the afternoon. Chad, John McClain, he does not get up early either. He stays up late.
The man in black, one-time band leader. One-time band leader. A guy that you can ask an NFL question to right now at 615-737-1045. Just don't ask him his band name.
Well, we can't say it. We're not allowed to say. What we can say is he'll give us details on why the NFL chose not to vote in the 4th and 15 over the onside kick. We thought that was going to pass with as much support that it had whenever it was tossed out there through the media and being discussed. They didn't pass it through yesterday. We'll ask John why. And we'll also take your phone call, 615-737-1045. Our number, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 1045 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Online, edleysbbq.com. Authentically Nashville, locally owned. If you have not tried Nashville-style hot pork from Edley's Barbecue, you owe it to yourself to try it. Again, authentically Nashville, and they've got the Nashville style hot pork. Alongside Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton, and Paul will rejoin us later this hour. He's on a conference call right now with Kenny Vaccaro. John McClain joins us each and every Friday afternoon with the latest NFL headlines and discussion. And Chad, that means our phone lines are open for John McClain right now.
That is correct. Your NFL questions, welcome for John McClain at 615-737-1045, 737-1045. Let us know your questions for John McClain.
John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing very well. We were chatting about this earlier, and we discussed it earlier in the week. Based on the reaction to the news floated out there about the 4th and 15 instead of the onside kick, we discussed this on Tuesday, I believe, about the media, actually, majority of them actually like the idea, but the NFL and the competition committee votes it down. Ultimately, why did they vote this down to implement?
Because it's a gimmick. And they had talked about it for about 2 months, and they never passed anything that's radical without putting a lot of thought into it. And they didn't do that.
But it was, do you agree that there was support for it?
There was a little support. Mainly it was came in the media. But I'm not surprised at all they shot it down. I think there will be something that will replace the onside kick. I think next year they'll do like they are this year with the extra official in the booth. Might try it preseason, might try it on a one-year experimental basis, the way they did with the call and pass interference last year, which was a disaster. But there was no way they were going to pass this thing because it's such a gimmick.
John McClain joins us. You can ask him your NFL question at 737-1045. John, I want to go away from football momentarily. When you see what the NHL has done with their plan to return to play, and Major League Baseball having a very difficult time coming to an agreement between the Players Association and the owners, how bad could this be for baseball if they can't reach an agreement and have some sort of season?
Well, Chad, it's terrible, of course. People always side with the owners because the owners are big business, and the owners want the players to share in the loss evenly, but they don't want them to share in the profits in a normal year evenly. So what I think they should do is say you were going to make $30 million, and instead of making you take seven like they proposed with like Mike Trout, give you half of your money and then give the rest on a deferred basis when things return to normal. And you would not be making interest. You wouldn't have it to invest, but you would still get it. To me, that seems like a compromise to pay the players down the line. Just like in football, if the owner's income goes down, it's going to, because we're not going to have sold out stadiums every game this year. So they're going to make less money. And instead of taking it all out of next year's cap, they will stagger it. They'll do it maybe over a 5-year period. Instead of going up 10%, it goes up 8% or 7%. And that way it doesn't just hit the league all in 1 year, which would be a disaster for the players because there's nothing they could do about that. But baseball, the union runs baseball. It has since 1977. And the owners usually capitulate, and I believe they will now. Another alternative for baseball, the owners want to play playoff games, cut the season. I heard this suggested on MLB radio this morning, cut the season from 82 to 65, have more playoff games when you're guaranteed, well, you think you're guaranteed sellouts. But on the other hand, there may not be any people in the stands. But give the owners whatever it takes game-wise to make more money, and that way the players we'll make more money, too.
John, I know you're a big hockey fan also. What do you think about the NHL's plan with the two hub cities, with expanding the playoffs, with more teams and skipping right past the end of the regular season and going right into the playoffs whenever they come back?
I'd like to see them play a little regular season games to help them get their legs back because, you know, to be a hockey player, my God, you got to be in great shape. You can run out. You can go out. You can run in a backyard or down the street or at the closest school, and you can run sprints and you can sweat. But, man, until you get on skates, I think they need some form of a season because the thing I worry about in all the sports is even though guys have been working out on their own or with their fitness gurus, that there's going to be a lot of injuries, that the injuries will be a lot of pulled muscles. And so I'm just glad the NHL has a plan. That's the main thing. Bring them back first. Get them out there. I don't like it that so many really bad teams, like they're talking about in the NBA, team come out and be gone immediately. Well, what if a bad team that was 20 games under 500 before the season was suspended comes back and pulls off an upset over a team that was a lot better? I don't think people want to see that, but this is, because it's unprecedented, people got to go along with it. Now, I'm not saying baseball players have to go along with it on their income, but whatever plan they come, whether it's playing all playoffs or playing 82 games and then get to the playoffs, people have to adjust to it, accept it, and enjoy it, that they just got their sports back.
John McLean with us. Follow him on Twitter at McLean_on_NFL. And he's been covering the league for more than four decades. You can ask him old stories, current stories across the league. 615-737-1045, our number. John, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay. Clyde Christensen recently told a radio station in Tampa that he sees a perfect mix of Arians offense with a Tom Brady influence. What do you think he means by that?
Well, Bruce Arians' offense, everything since he came to the NFL, is the exact opposite of what Tom Brady's played in New England. And one of the great stats I read was the most sacks certain quarterbacks had had in their career, from Peyton Manning to Ben Roethlisberger to Kurt, to whoever, every big quarterback had his most sacks playing for Arians. That's because Arians like to take a deep drop, send out all his receivers, throw the ball down the field, and the quarterback gets hit a lot. So if you get hit a lot, you're going to take a lot of sacks. That cannot happen with Brady. Brady's all about the quick drop, stay in the pocket, get rid of the ball. You got to slide right, slide left, step up. He can do that, but he does not take seven step drops and send out everybody. So I see Arians having to adjust his philosophy a whole lot more than Brady, and that's what good coaches do. One of the all-time great changes in philosophy was Don Shula at Miami when they went unbeaten and won two out of three Super Bowls. They were built around their running game with Larry Zonka and Jim Kick and Mercury Morris. Then Dan Marino's drafted, and he opens it up and plays the most wide-open game in the NFL, and that's what good coaches do, and Arians has been around long enough to do it. And as far as Clyde Christensen, my goodness, he was the quarterback coach under Tony Dungy, and he had one of the most conservative offenses there were. But I think Brady will do a lot of coaching there, and they will adjust if they're smart.
Phone lines are open for your NFL questions for John McLean, 615-737-1045. We'll take a segment of your phone calls, whatever you want to ask John around the league. We can do it next, 737-1045.
So Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt LaFleur have all talked with the media about how everything will be handled at the quarterback position. But LaFleur, in a recent interview in Wisconsin, had something to say about the selection of Jordan Love that shows us why we're not going to see this storyline go away in the media anytime soon. The questions will continue to be asked. We'll get John McClain's take on what LaFleur had to say next. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. We continue with John McLean on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. John, Matt LaFleur went with the cliche answer in a recent interview this week in Wisconsin. In discussing the selection of Jordan Love, he said, you know, we just went by our board, and he was far and away the best available player, so we had to select him. Why not just say that he has the traits necessary to be the next quarterback within their system down the road? Why not just be honest with everyone when we can see right through what they're doing and what they're setting up?
He said they had other players that were rated highly that they liked, but they were gone. He said what Ted Thompson said in 2000 and whatever, I can't even remember what year he was drafted now. Whenever Rodgers was drafted and Ted Thompson took him, everybody knew they didn't need a quarterback, but they also had him rated a lot higher. That's what he should have said. He should have said, well, you know, we had him rated among our top 10 prospects, and even though we've got one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, when he was available there, we just felt like we had to take him. And or did they take him with their pick? They didn't trade back to get him, did they?
They traded up to get him.
Okay, well, how far up did they trade? I forgot.
They moved up just a couple of spots because they thought Indy was trading up from the second round to draft him.
We thought he was we had him as a top 10 player on our board, and when we saw he was there, knowing that eventually Aaron's not going to be our quarterback, we love Aaron. He should have praised the heck out of Rodgers. that they didn't do that. So, of course, there's a speculation, and there's always going to be a speculation. Jordan Love is certainly not ready to play. Considering Aaron Rodgers said he's 36 years old, I think, and he wants to play into his 40s, and whether it's with this team or another team, but, boy, Love's got a long way to go. He had a really good sophomore year. Then he got hurt, lost his coaches, his best receivers, and did not have a good year last season, but they saw the talent there. But there are going to be speculation reports about this as long as he's there. It's going to be a distraction.
You know, and I actually listened to the Aaron Rodgers teleconference. It was streamed through the website, and I was eager to hear how he handled the answers. And he said, yeah, I was shocked whenever, you know, they selected Jordan Love. And then the next question I found even more interesting with how he answered it. He was asked how the offense looks depth chart-wise moving forward, coming off of last year. They were implying in the question, didn't you need some upgrades at wide receiver? And Aaron Rodgers answers, he goes, yeah, he goes, looking at it, we got some guys we can develop. You know, that we have Lazard, a wide receiver who looks pretty good. They mentioned Devin Funchess, who I believe had just signed, and then Valdez-Scantling, who's another receiver. But when you think about the receiving core, John, and think about the fact that they had double-digit picks and not one of them went to the wide receiver position to help out their veteran quarterback, the frustration level is only going to grow for Rodgers if they don't get off to a nice start.
Me, the Patriots, exactly what Bill Belichick has done for years with Tom Brady. You look at those receivers, all those little slot receivers they have, and some of the wideouts, other than Randy Moss near the end of his career, had a great season. They cut him, and he kept playing. But Bill Belichick didn't do anything to help him. Tried to bring in, you know, Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown because he wasn't doing it in the draft. And he done it with N'Keal Harry at the bottom of the first round. He was hurt after his first year. But they seem to think, if you got a great quarterback, he can make chicken salad out of you know what.
Yep, that's right. John, let's go to Brock, who's calling from Oak Hill. Brock, welcome.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I enjoy your show every day. Concerning the kicking in the NFL and the rule changes, it seems like they're trying to always tweak it every year. And I was wondering what John's opinion was and the rest of you as far as the kickers in the league in the future. It seems like they just want so much scoring and the kicking is getting in the way. Do you think they'll ever get rid of the kicking in our game? I'm just like have a quarterback go out and like heave it down the field for kickoffs and stuff, which we used to do as kids. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. I don't think it'll happen in my lifetime. I think like right now, if you watch, so many kickers kick it out of the end zone so the ball comes to the 25. I know the Texans last year started having their kicker, Kyme Fairbairn, work on placement and hang time, and they were number one in opponent's field position. And you don't see a lot of long kickoffs anymore. You used to see more touchdowns. And they've made it kind of boring to not have the kickoff return, but that's the idea because more players get hurt on kickoff returns than anything else. It wouldn't bother me if we didn't have anything like field goals and you just had to play, but that's not going to happen because you talk about radical. That is way too radical for NFL owners who are by and large very conservative people.
John, it's interesting that you bring that up because I'd love to poll football fans out there, but I find a long field goal attempt and one that you don't quite know if it's going to make it or if it's going to get inside the upright to be a very exciting play in sports. While you're watching the ball go through the air to see if it's going to make it, there is some drama involved with that. I think the onside kick is a nerve-wracking play to watch in sports, especially if you're the team that's not trying to give it up for the team to make the miraculous comeback. Those split seconds where you're watching that happen before your team recovers it is a very nerve-wracking, exciting play. So if all the interest is let's make the game more exciting, I don't know that you're making the game more exciting with a 4th and 15 as opposed to an onside kick or if you're taking field goals away eventually. I would just be curious to know what most common fans think about those plays in terms of excitement.
Well, the problem with onside kicks no longer excitement because you know they're not, the opponent's not going to get it. They've taken the fun out of it. As far as a long field goal, 50 yards or more, I agree. One of the most exciting plays I saw last year. Texans are opening the season at New Orleans. They're up by one. There's no time. There's like a few seconds left. And the kicker for the Saints has got to kick a 58-yard field goal, which he'd never done. Now, it would have been more exciting if he's outside and it was windy. But he was inside and he made it, and they won by one, game over. And I love watching kickers like Adam Vinatieri when he used to kick in the snow. I think watching kickers kick anything in the snow is exciting. But that's one reason they won't get rid of kickers. I've always thought, why does a 22-yard field goal count the same as a 52-yard field goal? That just doesn't make sense. And that's why I've always thought if you make a field goal, say 50 yards or more, it should count more than three, or maybe the closer in they count less, because that just never made sense.
And to further the point, the kicking position, like the kicker is the one area of the game that's actually safe. Why would you eliminate the safe position? Those guys aren't getting hurt with concussions and those types of injuries. So I think you definitely wouldn't get away with the extra point or the field goal.
It's a great point because you expose them more to injuries, kind of like you do in a 17-game season.
John, has there been any talk about the stadiums in L.A. and Vegas not being complete in time for, I believe, what, L.A. opens in week two? But I know Hard Knocks is likely to feature the Chargers and Rams both leading up to that kickoff, so there'll be a lot of focus there. The Vegas stadium looks like it's on time, but anything can happen. There's a lot of pressure to finish those jobs quickly.
Well, they're going to be able to play. They're not going to be able to fill them with fans that early, but they'll be able to play. Rams announced this week they'd be ready by what date? The 14th, something like that. And I'll guarantee you we're not starting the season with 70,000 fans in the stands. Another thing is weird. If you don't put all those fans in there, it's because you want social distancing. And if you want social distancing in the stands, why do you not want it on the field and the sideline? Seems very, very contradictory.
John, always great discussion with you. We appreciate you coming on the show each week and what you've done every year after year here on this station. So thank you, man. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Jonathan and Chad, hope you guys have a great weekend too, and stay safe.
Yeah, thank you, John. Thanks, John McClain in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for his reporting on the National Football League. He's covered the league for over four decades. And Chad, I mean, since we've started with the Zone, he's been on this station. It's over 20-plus years now that he's been on.
Yeah, I haven't known 104.5 The Zone without John McClain, and I came on board a year after the station started. So he has been a fixture on 104.5 The Zone, a fixture on our show since the very beginning, a fixture on the old primetime show even at 6 o'clock at night. So we love what John does for us. I know Will Bowling told us about the podcast numbers earlier. Obviously, a lot of people out there enjoy listening to John McClain and his perspective. And as you mentioned, Hutton, it's always great when you can get a Hall of Famer on. And no, I'm not talking about the Rutgers Prep Hall of Fame with Paul Kaharski, who joins us daily, an actual pro football Hall of Famer.
This conference call is going way long with Kenny Vaccaro that Paul's on right now. And he's rejoining us. We'll get the very latest from the Titans teleconference and the Zoom call. Paul has notes prepared next. Midday on 80, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. At 6. Hope you'll join us following 3HL this afternoon. Paul, give us the latest from your conference call with Kenny Vaccaro.
And Adoree Jackson. First, what they're not telling us, and which we have to come to terms with, we're not going to learn. They're saying that they don't know. if Mike Vrabel's calling the plays. Listen, Mike Vrabel's going to be calling the plays. If Shane Bowen was calling the plays, if Jim Haslett was calling the plays, we'd know it. I'm sure they still need to get on the field and iron some of this out. But I think, Hutton, you agree with me that Vrabel's going to do it, but they also have to make some rules and some exceptions for when he needs to step away from doing it. And I think that's how it's going to work. But these guys, to whatever degree they know what's going on, aren't sharing. And I don't know that they know or that they're asking. It's not that important to their lives, really. They also don't know who's playing nickel. Or they're not saying. Adoree says, he's certainly paying attention and learning to what degree they're doing that in the Zoom meetings, and he's capable of it. And I talked to both of them about the idea that it's gotten faster in there just in the 3 years. And Vaccaro, agreed with the Vrabel premise, which I'll build off of, which is why we think Logan Ryan wasn't even in consideration to come back. They both are going to miss Logan a great deal. Adoree talked about how much he learned from him in his 3 years and how he's still going to call him and pick his brain. Kenny, is bummed to lose a friend, but said that Fulton is attentive and smart. Vaccaro said there's so much potential that this team still needs to unlock. And that he thinks, they'll be fine with a great group of leaders still. He wouldn't be stressed if he's Logan Ryan. He was a late signee coming off of injury, but has experienced the same kind of calendar in terms of joining a team late and has familiarity with that. He also has familiarity with having a fifth-year option executed like Adoree Jackson just did. So Kenny Vaccaro, kind of a resource for both of them in terms of going through the experience. Both very complimentary of Anthony Midgett, the new cornerback coach, who they've gotten to know, and of Jonathan Joseph, a veteran coming into their room. And Adoree, one thing that Vaccaro said, he's missing the competition of training. He's big into kind of competitive training stuff, but he said he's working on a strong core and a foundation and looking forward to the competition of training as things go on. Adoree's been in California, but somewhat oddly now he's in Illinois. And he answered a question about why he's there late, but I didn't quite catch it. And in a conversation at the end, he was asked about Corey Davis kind of not getting his option and his conversations with Corey. He said their theme is always the same: all gas, no brakes.
Well, and Adoree grew up in Illinois.
Yeah.
Right? Spent the first half of his life in Illinois.
Transferred out west for high school.
Yeah. Yeah. So California guy making a stop kind of on his way back, I guess.
Yeah. For all the discussion of can Jonathan Joseph come in and be a behind the scenes leader? He's been that leader in Houston. The answer is yes. And the example to use is Kenny Vaccaro, right? I mean, no one really even discussed that, but I love the way we interviewed him maybe day one or day two of his training camp right after he was signed. And he sat down and very nonchalantly said, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. I'm going to use my experience and my advantage. I'm going to share my knowledge. And that's what Jonathan Joseph can do, too. It's not really complicated to put a good leader in a locker room and expect them to just fit in. That's what they do well.
Kenny Vaccaro has a sweet setup. He's like down in his basement. He's got a microphone on a arm like yours, Hutt, or like a studio.
Yeah.
Sitting in what looks like a gaming chair at his computer, and he's a gamer and also an investor, but also with a bunch of jerseys very nicely framed in his room. He's overtaken Roger Saffold as the best background. And then Adoree, it was just kind of funny to me. There was a Casablanca poster behind him in his background. Both very upbeat. They're upbeat guys, so they had a good energy about them. And we're now expecting to talk to a couple assistant coaches next week, I think Tuesday and Wednesday, hopefully. So maybe some new voices, including Anthony Midgett and Jim Haslett are the two I'd be most interested in hearing from. So
fun
hopefully
show
we
today.
Have that to look forward to.
Wrapping up a fun week. And tonight, if you're on Facebook, if you scroll down through and you see where – the show or individually, we have shared the live video feed, Facebook Live, of Catfish for a Cure that's going on with Catfish Jake, Chad's hosting that event. Craig Campbell will be playing. I'm jumping in at some point this evening. If you're able to get on there and just click and watch for a few minutes, it's going for a great cause with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So check that out this evening.
I also just tweeted out personally from Matt Withrow Zone the link to where to give for LLS Tennessee. So even if you're not watching the broadcast tonight, if you can't join us at Mill Creek Brewery, but you want to give a little bit to the cause, please, or a lot, feel free. Again, I tweeted out the link to where you can donate to LLS Tennessee. And looking forward to that event tonight, 7:30 at Mill Creek Brewery.
That site for giving, unfortunately, can be a little bit sticky. So I'd encourage you to be a little bit persistent in terms of making it go through. Obviously, it's for a good cause. So yep. If it takes a little extra patience, so be it.
Guys, we're not leaving. We'll be back at 6 for the 180 at 6. Until then, enjoy this afternoon. Time to get outside. And 3, 2, 1.
We got it done. We will get it done. You will not block the box. You will lock the locks.
See you.